Ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be peeping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome back to the Shoeless Goat Podcast. We're a Cubs, White Sox, and MLB podcast. I'm your host, Nick. I'm joined again by the mayor of Section 509, who is commonly uttering the phrase, God, I hate this team, at Guaranteed Rate Park, or Guaranteed Rate Field, I should say. Patrick Bovard. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing better than I was Friday. I guess if we want to lead off with that. So, you know, there's at least that. But I was thinking back. I honestly don't know if I have seen a win in person since we went to that collapse against Cleveland, and it has just continued like that since. So I'm not saying you caused all of this pain and suffering in my life, but there is at least a little bit of correlation there.
Yeah, we were referring to the Naylor game that Pat and I attended, where we jokingly had all these bets going. So we were hoping that Cleveland could tie it up so that all our home run props could hit. And man, little did we.
They did tie it up.
They did tie it up, but we did not have a Josh Naylor 2-home run prop in that game.
I love the fact that the 2022 White Sox have given Josh Naylor his own game.
Yes, that is something.
Like, that's where we're at. But, you know, hey, 2 games out of first place, so the Sox might be back.
Yeah, I mean, back just because everyone else is bad, but back is back regardless.
It's as Tony will remind you, he won a World Series with 83 wins.
That is so upsetting.
You got to love the sport.
Yeah, just a great game. Yeah, I mean, we took the last weekend off just because there was only 3 games to talk about after the All-Star break. So this one will cover most of those games as well as this week's games. So I'll start off the way we always do with a weekly recap. And then we're going to get into some fun stuff, some trade deadline stuff, things like that. But the Cubs came out of the All-Star break as probably one of the hottest teams in baseball, actually. They had 3 against the Phillies in which they swept. And the first one, which was last Friday, was a 15-2 win. Nelson Velasquez came in the 8th inning to pinch hit and hit a home run, and then came up in the 9th again and hit another home run. So he had 2 at-bats in a row with home runs and actually hit 3 home runs total, 5 of his 5 total against Philly. So he might be a Philly killer. So he had a great series, but that's continued on Saturday, a 6-2 win. And then the Cubs got the sweep Sunday with a 4-3 victory. So that was pretty embarrassing for Philly to come back to and lose to the Cubs. But it didn't change because the Cubs had the Pirates at home for a 2-game stretch before heading to the West Coast. It was a 3-2 win against the Pirates. Nico Hoerner on Monday hit a double in the 8th, and then Phil Robertson, or is it Phil? Yeah, it is. I keep mixing up my Robertsons, but came in and shut the door, basically. So his name will certainly come. I do mean David. Oh my gosh. Yeah, who is Phil? I don't even know.
Is there a Phil Robertson?
I don't know. It's Sunday night. We're usually recording.
That's the
on
Duck
Monday
Dynasty
night.
Guy.
Is it really?
Yeah, that is the Duck Dynasty guy. I was gonna say there is a Phil Robertson, but I didn't know if it was a baseball player.
Okay.
Maybe he needs to go on this episode's graphic.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Okay. Well, you know, if we had an intern, he would totally cut that, but we don't. So, believe it in David Robertson. I'm such a good fan. This is how insignificant this team has been for me this year. David Robertson, not Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, closes the door for the save. He was probably going to be traded, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And then Tuesday was a 4-2 win against the Pirates. So the Cubs, including the last game against the Mets after a 9-game losing streak, started off the second half with a 6-game winning streak, only to be snapped by the classic Cubs West Coast floundering of a 4-2 loss. Friday, the Cubs returned the favor with a 4-2 win. And then Saturday, kind of a heartbreaker, although it was more of a late comeback to make it a 1-run loss, but it was a 5-4 loss. Now, currently, for some ungodly reason, the Cubs and Giants are playing on Sunday Night Baseball, and the Cubs, as we record, are losing 4-0. So unless there's a comeback happening. It's looking like losing 3 of 4 against the Giants to kind of commit to their ways. But I will say that during that 6-game winning streak, I was even talking to my dad about it, that why aren't the Cubs buyers? Like, I was like almost like dumbing myself into thinking that, oh, they're only 11.5 back for the wild card. Like, why don't they just go for it? And as dumb as that sounds, I still am like, why the hell not? But that's just kind of the baseball fan that I am. I don't really, you know, I would like to have competitive baseball right now, not these bullshit, you know, fire sales. You know, 2 rebuilds in 10 years is brutal.
Yep.
So that's kind of my takeaway from it. But after losing seemingly 3 of 4 to the Giants, I kind of understand why they might make some changes. But this is the second year in a row we're trading every piece of talent we have away. So it's I won't even call it bittersweet. It's simply just bitter.
Yep. Yeah, I feel your pain after having that a few years ago. But 100% in agreement, even if you have like even the most remote part of a chance. I mean, you never know. Cardinals team last year, what, they won 17 in a row and ended up making the playoffs. Mariners won 14 in a row and went from like 20% playoff odds to like 80 now. So it's just more fun when you're at least trying. Even if you don't get there, at least it's like, I don't know. I've often said I'd rather my team just tries to win 80 some games every year, and maybe some years they're better, maybe some years they're worse, than like just telling me we're going to lose for 5 years.
Yeah. And they're saying, oh, well, they got Suzuki, so they're planning on being competitive next year. I go, I don't see it, man. You don't go from 100 losses to 100 wins. It just doesn't happen.
No. I mean, I guess with Suzuki, you just got to be competitive in the 3 years after that, at least some of them. Right? You had a 5-year deal?
Yeah, it's a 5-year deal, and that's the thing, too, is that even if you're going to trade for prospects and everything like that, I honestly don't know how Suzuki chose Chicago unless – they're telling him something that either isn't true or they won't tell us about yet. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, it's like San Diego seemed like it would have been a slam dunk for him, but I don't know. Maybe Jed Hoyer's just a master negotiator.
Well, and Yu Darvish kind of like convinced him to go to Chicago, which kind of shocked me because of how poorly he was treated in Chicago. Like, maybe he doesn't like Seiya Suzuki. Maybe that's why.
Could be. We're reading between the lines here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hey, that's what led us to the Dallas Keuchel scoop.
Very, very true. Allegedly. Ranger. Well, no, I guess Round Rock Express Dallas Keuchel currently.
Oh, Round Rock's finest. Got it. So, yeah, that's kind of Cubs news. We'll get back into it as we talk trade deadline. But you know what? You want to give us a Sox recap there, Pat? I know it's going to probably be some sort of rotation between a win and a loss at any given point.
So they went 5-4 since the All-Star break. Basically, every series just seems like deja vu now, where there is some combination of the same things happening. So the 3 series we've had since the All-Star break. First one was that short week to open the second half against Cleveland. Seems like they open against Cleveland to open second half every year. But I digress. Anyways, they split that series 2-2, played 4 games with 1 doubleheader in there. And it started off how a lot of their series have. They got blown out Friday night. Giolito gave up, I think, 4 runs in the first inning and 6 total. They lost 8-2 that game. Really never got close. I guess there was an appealed sacrifice fly that would have been the 3rd out, but they didn't get it. Ended up hitting a 3-run homer immediately after that. Just not good. Game 1 Saturday, just a bad loss again. I don't even remember what the score was, but I just know it was an ugly loss. And then it was looking like it was going to be similar. Game 2 is Saturday. No offense, pretty much not showing up. And then eventually they get going a little bit. Lance Lynn actually pitched good that night, which is the opposite of this Friday. But they won that. And then they ended up with Dylan Cease, you know, dealing on Sunday. That they got after Shane Bieber, which was really weird and something you wouldn't expect from this offense. But they did it. Went 2-2, won 2 in a row out of that. And then they went into Colorado with momentum. They won Tuesday to open up the series in Colorado. A 2-1 win at Coors, which, you know, I don't really like the offense scoring 2 runs at Coors, but Michael Kopech going 5 scoreless at Coors Field is also as unimpressive as that offensive performance was. That's equally impressive on the mound. So in general, you know, nice momentum going into that 3rd game. And then the game there, 2nd game in Colorado, they Giolito spots him 3 more runs in the 1st inning, but then gets out of it. The offense comes all the way back to get it to 5-3, but then you just have the frustrating collapse at the end where, you know, you give them 1 more run to get it to 5-4. Ultimately, they get into the ninth inning, and Kendall Graveman walks three guys and gives up a walk-off single without getting an out. So the $24 million man there doesn't come through. Yeah, Leury Garcia getting picked off at third with two outs on a walk, which I don't think we will ever see again. I've never seen that. I don't think it's ever happened before. I don't think I will ever see that again, because no base runner should ever let that happen. And yeah, again, basically going into the weekend spiraling, which continued when we lost big Friday night against Oakland. What Lance Lynn gave up five runs in that game. They let him throw 100 pitches. They gave up seven runs to Oakland and really had no life. I think we both said this at that game. They went down 3-1 in the second inning, and we both said, it's over. Like, this team is dead. Plenty of fire Tony chance coming from yours truly later in that game. Tim Anderson gets ejected for bumping into the umpire. 2017 Astros fans were not happy about my tweet about that. And then they ended up salvaging the series. So I don't know. They won Saturday 3-2, which was, again, Oakland. I think back to that Cleveland series. Oakland was up most of the game. Johnny Cueto held them to two runs, but Gavin Sheets tied it, and they ended up walking it off. And then Sunday, again, Dylan Cease comes in at playing the savior like he's had to this whole season with a 2 ERA, had one earned run, seven strikeouts in six innings, and they won 4-1. So I don't know. They went 5-4. They're two games out of first. They're a game over 500. Basically comes down to, are they going to go on a run? They've shown no indication that they're capable of doing so, other than floating right around 500. But, you know, hey, who knows? They're playing a bunch of bad teams, so who knows what's going to happen.
I'd like to correct you a little bit. You said that Fire Tony chants were taken part by you later in the game. I would like to point out that it was early in the game, probably around the third inning or so, is when you resorted to Fire
late.
Tony
like
chants.
Like we said, the game was over. It felt late.
Yeah, no, the game was very much over pretty early. You just saw like a lot of hands on the hips after the
3-1.
Steven Piscotty hit a three-run homer while we were grabbing like hot dogs or something like that. And that was before our ice cream run. That's how I'm gauging what happened in that game. But it seemed like every time we went up to see something, like to go get something, something happened where a run was good. We came back. Every time we sat back down, the Sox were losing by more. And a couple late homers got them back into it, but it was not a competitive baseball game by any stretch. And that, I guess, just shouldn't happen when you're playing a team like the Oakland Athletics.
No. I mean, they've traded basically anyone with a pulse, or they will have by the time the deadline comes around. But it's just like, it's one of those things where, like, against that type of team, we were talking about it. I could have named three of the starting players in Oakland's lineup going into that game. Maybe I just don't watch a lot of West Coast baseball, but I think the fact remains that the fact that a team with this much talent was basically dead in the water down 3-1 to that Oakland team is insane.
I also want to bring up a point that we talked about at the game about Oakland and about the Washington Nationals. If you are a listener from the beginning of the season, you know that me and Pat both picked a team who we thought was going to be the worst. I picked Washington. You picked Oakland. Current standings as we stand, I guess if you can say, 39-65 for Oakland. The Sox helped out with that one. And then the Nationals are 35-68. So I've got a little 3.5 games behind you to keep me in last place, I guess. We still haven't come up with some sort of reward or punishment for it. But when Juan Soto gets dealt, I can't only imagine it's only going to get worse for the Nationals. I think I have this in the bag.
We'll see. I don't know. I guess Oakland's probably going to get rid of Frankie Montas, possibly Ramon Laureano and some others. But like, I will say though, that's probably the one prediction each of us did well on. Cause I was thinking back to who we predicted for the different awards, and there are a lot of bad predictions in there.
I still have Julio Rodriguez, I believe, as the rookie of the year, unless that was your pick.
No, I know that was not my pick. I had Bobby Witt, which I don't know. I was trying to think the only one I think that's like even remotely feasible right now. I guess Sandy Alcantara wasn't terrible for Cy Young for me for NL, but that's the only one I was gonna pick Dylan Cease, but I didn't want to do it. And I think we both
I had Walker Buehler.
Yeah. It's been tough. A lot of our picks have been tough, but at least we got the bad teams right. So we're good at picking bad teams.
Yeah, my Marco Gonzalez Seattle Cy Young is looking tough right
same
now.
With me and Bip Berríos.
Okay, so I gave up on Berríos a long time ago after I picked him like 2 years in a row to win Cy Young's, so that'll happen, I guess. But in any case, we'll move on just because the weekly recap is over, but I do want to talk about the trade deadline, as we've kind of alluded to with the A's and the Nationals From a national standpoint, Juan Soto is basically down to three teams. But from the Cubs standpoint, they've already made a couple of trades, actually. They traded Dixon Machado to the Giants for, from what I'm seemingly seeing, is cash. And it's funny because the Cubs were in town with San Francisco, so all he had to do was walk across the walk across to the other dugout. And he was actually playing today against the Cubs. So that's pretty funny. And then Chris Martin, not the singer for Coldplay, because we're mixing up celebrities and baseball players a lot today, was traded to the Dodgers for kind of a utility guy, kind of, a, I guess, a 4A kind of guy who will probably play very much for the Cubs once they deal everybody, Zach McKinstry. But he, good news for the Cubs is he has five – he's 27, but he has 5 years left of control, or potentially 5 years left of control. So for a utility guy to have that kind of control – it's pretty good. I just hope he bats higher than the 210 he's been putting up lately as a Major League Baseball player. But then we talk about the big pieces that will certainly get moved. Obviously, Wilson Contreras, which let's talk about how disgusting it was for like the Cubs in the last couple of home games to like make like thank you videos and stuff like that after like Wilson was obviously very upset. And they kind of just like milked it, like knowing like, hey, you know, they made it seem like, oh, it's out of our control, yep. You know. It's like it's not a retirement tour. It's not Albert Pujols going around or Derek Jeter collecting numbers off of scoreboards. It's like you could keep him if you wanted to. But in any case, Ian Happ also likely on the way out. Also, Michael Gibbons, relief pitcher, is having a great year. And then not Phil Robertson. likely getting dealt too. I kind of want to predict where these guys will go. And see what you think about it, Pat. So okay. I've got Wilson Contreras going to the Rays with the Mike Zunino injury. That kind of makes the most sense. Additionally, they have the strongest farm system, them and the Dodgers. So that's what, kind of where I want him to go. Padres have also been floated. I've got Ian Happ going to the Padres, though. Yeah, a little bit of utility work, sure up their outfield a bit. And then it'll be interesting if they – package those two to the Padres and the Cubs would get a haul back, but who knows. Gibbons, I have going to Philly for some reason. I think he pitched for them before, so like it kind of just sticks in my head. And then I've got Robertson going to the Twins. You know, maybe an AL Central revenge tour against the White Sox. Any thoughts on those?
I mean, the Twins definitely need bullpen help, so I think I would see them getting, you know, maybe one of those two guys. They need pitching badly. I guess the Padres, my one thing with that is I don't like what they're one of the three teams left for Soto. And I can't imagine like if they don't get Soto, I think Happ makes a lot of sense for them. But I think like I was watching baseball tonight and they were talking about that. Like a lot is just really hanging in the balance until something happens with Soto, especially for the three teams, the Cardinals, the Padres and the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers were the third one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, I guess Contreras, who else would maybe the team I've heard that would be very interesting for him, but I know isn't going to happen would be Cleveland. I think that would be very interesting for them to go after him because pairing him with Jose Ramirez in there, but I don't think Cleveland tries to, if they win with their current group, great, but I don't think they're really going to give up much to try to win with it.
Just give me Karen Chack for him and we'll be happy. I'm fine with it. I would love that.
I mean, they have a lot of like, I guess, karma to make up with their trade, saying how they got Emmanuel Clase for like two innings of Corey Kluber from Texas.
Yeah, that's pretty true. They've had a couple. I mean, they sent Clevinger to San Diego too, so they're no,
Yonder Alonso to just, like, from they got Connor Pilkington last year from the White Sox for Cesar Hernandez, and they got another guy who's playing in the majors this year for Yonder Alonso from the Sox. 3 years ago now.
Yeah, so. They're doing pretty well for themselves. So that's kind of where the Cubs are at. I'll talk about some other happy Cubs deadline times in a moment. But how's the trade deadline looking for the White Sox, Pat? What are your thoughts? Who do you want? I mean, they're in a weird spot right now.
The thing is with them, they can't – I've heard – they're not trading anybody away. I heard on the radio saying, like, do you include Lance Lynn or Lucas Giolito with any of these trade talks? And that's insanity. You're not trading any of – regardless of how badly they pitched – you can't trade any of those guys because then whatever upside they have is worth more than whatever middling prospect you would get for selling them at their lowest point. They don't really have much in the way of a farm system unless they are trading, like basically emptying the cupboard of Colson Montgomery, Oscar Colas, Norge Vera, maybe a couple other names in there, but like outside of that, they don't really have much. And who would they like? Who are they going to trade that for? Something I've heard that really intrigued me that I would not be that opposed to is if Michael Conforto is ready to play, would they kick the tires on signing him, giving him like, you know, whatever prorated deal would be? I wouldn't hate that because really the main thing I think they need, the most important thing, is a left-handed bat. Starting pitching, like bullpen, I think is what they're going to do. They're going to get a lefty reliever because I think almost every contender trades for a bullpen arm of some sort. And with Aaron Bummer out till September, Joe Kelly kind of being on and off hurt, Kendall Graveman, if they play in Toronto, Kendall Graveman can't go to Toronto. So I think they're going to trade for a bullpen arm of some sort. Andrew Chafin is a kind of a name I might like there, but I don't really know. Starting pitching, I've heard, obviously, Rodon and maybe some package of him and Jock Peterson would be the pipe dream. But I don't think that's realistic. I don't think they're going to have to give up. And that's the thing. They don't have the prospects to get any, I think, real big difference maker, which is why that Conforto one at least intrigues me.
Yeah, I would feel like they would have to like trade for a guy with lots of control, like take on some salary from somebody else in order to like, make a trade, you know? Yeah,
I don't know. Like they need a left-handed bat and they need, I would like a starting pitcher. Like Quintana has been floated and I don't really care who the starting pitcher is because they probably would not be starting a playoff game. They just need to be able to pitch innings so Michael Kopech and whoever else isn't burnt out by the time the playoffs come around. So whoever they get for that, whatever. I guess if I had to give a prediction, I don't think they're getting anyone that moves the needle.
Can I interest you in said Alec Mills, former no-hitter thrower?
That is interesting. I don't think we have a slappy second baseman to trade for him, though, unfortunately.
Josh Harrison just hit one out today, so God. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy. Maybe Leary?
Yeah, we'd love to have him. Yeah, the legend. Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Sox do. Of course, if they get Chafin, then they'll have like three of my favorite players playing for a team I don't like, with Joe Kelly and Johnny Cueto and Andrew Chafin. Chafin loves Chicago, so he might be game for it. And the Tigers have said basically everybody's on the table, so you love to see that. Not the first time that's happened. Let's go back to the Wayback Machine. Cubs fans, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a treat. Because it sucks when your team is a seller at the deadline. It's happened last year. It's happening this year. Hopefully it doesn't happen next year. I don't think the Cubs have anybody left to deal. But there was a time when the Cubs were buyers and they were exciting buyers. Let's go back all the way to, I think it was 2006, where the Cubs were in a four-team trade with like the Expos, the Red Sox, and maybe another team to get Nomar Garciaparra, and they got Matt Merton out of the deal and really didn't have to trade away anything, which I thought was awesome. Then they signed him to another deal. He got hurt a lot, but at least it was a year they didn't make the playoffs too, but at least going for it. Right. So that was super fun. I loved the Nomar Garciaparra one. I've got a bunch of these written down all over my piece of paper here. 2012, you deal Ryan Dempster, who never did anything really after he left the Cubs, for Kyle Hendricks and Christian Villanueva. That is a move that maybe one of these moves happens now, right? You lose Wilson Contreras, but you get that down-the-line player. That's really what you hope for. How about in 2014, they trade Jeff Samardzija for Addison Russell and Jason Hamill. So another one that you saw go well. This was probably one of my favorites, but it also comes with a little bit of pain. In 2008, the Cubs had just gotten swept the year before in the playoffs by the Arizona Diamondbacks in a best of 3 of 5. So at the deadline, they go for Rich Harden. And in doing so, they traded away starting pitcher Sean Gallagher, Matt Merton, who they got with Nomar, Eric Patterson, brother of Corey Patterson, and a minor league catcher by the name of Josh Donaldson, who they had drafted. So that was a fun one, too. Rich Harden was a strikeout pitcher that would throw 130 pitches in 5 innings, but at least he'd have like 12 Ks at that point. So that was a lot of fun to have him. They didn't make the play, or they made the playoffs that year, got swept by the Dodgers, but at least they went for it. So that's what I like. Then you had, obviously these are the obvious ones. The Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres, which I would still do in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Jose Quintana for Eloy and Cease as probably one of your favorite deadline moves. And then you have, trading with the Tigers a number of times. Justin Wilson, they traded as a setup / closer and traded away Jamer Candelario for, who has not been great since. That's like kind of a wash of a trade. So a lot of those. My all-time favorite, though, was the Nick Castellanos trade at the deadline for guys by the names of Alex Lang and Paul Richen, guys I haven't seen play in the majors. And the Tigers lost like 117 games that year or something along those lines. So basically GM Alex Avila said, we were just going to take the best offer we got. He had to go. So I don't know. There were times where the Cubs went for it. They're not going for it now. This maybe isn't the time to go for it now, but it's just fun to look back at times in which they went for it, win, lose, or draw. Most of the time lose.
Yeah, I think, I mean, out of those, I would say my favorite is the Jose Quintana one, because it got you a proven arm in the rotation to help shore that up down the stretch, and did help get you to an NLCS, if I remember correctly. So I thought that was a pretty good move.
Yeah, Quintana wasn't great, but Cease and Eloy weren't ready to help the Cubs during their window.
So. No, I mean, it's all, you're basically what? You're pushing, you're taking future, getting a little businessy here, but you're taking future earnings and pushing them up to this year, which, like, I mean, I don't know. It's like the thing. It's like if they would have won, you can trade everybody. I don't care. If you basically can trade everybody off the team, I don't care who they become. If you win a World Series with it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. So I'll take that for sure. So I guess, I don't know, maybe lightning round with some of the top trade prospects, Pat. Who is Juan Soto going to? Let's just go right from the top.
Cardinals.
God, I hate that so much.
I do too. And I read this, I don't remember who tweeted it, which is a shame because I should credit them. But I remember somebody saying, like, you know, if he goes there, like, their defense is really good and he is abysmal on defense. But I think the Cardinals are the team that would jump on that. Like, I don't know. I can't see the Padres doing it. I mean, I can see it doing it. I don't think they're as desperate for it as the Cardinals are, is I guess what my point is. Especially with Arenado potentially opting out within the Cardinals. It's kind of the last ride for Albert, Yachty, Wainwright probably. I just think the Cardinals are the team that really pushes in the chips to get it done. I don't know if they give him the mega extension, but I think they get a trade done.
Yeah, I'm also curious to see like what he does after he gets traded. I mean, the Cardinals did trade Edmundo Sosa, leading me to believe they're kind of gearing up for it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to think Dodgers. I don't know why. I just think they'll just do it anyway.
It's always a safe bet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're no stranger to it before. All right, throw one my way. Who do you think, who's like next on the list of top trade candidates, you would think?
Ooh, let me think of a good one here. I got an interesting one for you because I think this is, okay, so this is assuming this team sells. Where do you think Carlos Rodon goes?
That's a really tough one. I actually think he goes to Minnesota.
I could see that. That's what scares me.
Right? Like, so, okay, if you're going to say Juan Soto's going to the Cardinals, I'm sending Carlos Rodon directly to the Minnesota Twins.
They're 6 of the last 9 games of the season are between the Sox and the Twins.
That's exciting.
That's going to be
or
awful. It's for someone, it's going to be awful, probably.
The watch, it's going to be, you know, a 3-3 split. You're going to be right back where you started.
Game 163 or something like that. Or no, you can't. That doesn't happen anymore, do they?
They still do, I think, right?
No, I don't know. I thought maybe they got rid of them. I can't remember.
No, I think they still have them because like they're completely inept in tie-breaking situations still. So you can play 162 games and everyone's tied. Thankfully that they don't go to they should go to Home Run Derby. What were we thinking?
Just do that. Just do a home run derby between the two teams instead of a 163.
I still think the Sox would just botch it.
No, they would find a way.
Yeah. All right. I'm kind of blanking on who's left besides those two. Throw me one more and then I think we'll call it.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a big one too. There's just so few sellers this year, I think is the tough part because like so many teams are potentially in it, but I don't know. Let's say who's in last place in a division. I mean, I don't really want to say the Red Sox because I'm not convinced they're going to sell, although that is very intriguing. Let's go with someone in the NL East. Dude, I don't know. I'm drawing blanks.
Where's Jazz Chisholm going? Montes. Okay. I was going to say Jazz Chisholm. Yeah. Frankie Montes is not going to the White Sox, Pat. They just, they won't do it. Frankie Montes is going to go to I want to say the Blue Jays, but also I don't think I think the Blue Jays will do it.
See, I got the Yankees.
Yankees or maybe the Brewers. No, I don't know. It's so weird. It's hard to think. I can see the Yankees going for them.
Yeah.
Or they might go Rodon.
Yeah. The Brewers are weird though. I've heard them rumors of them talking about Hader, which would just be, I would not see the point in that, but you know, who knows?
There's always like one buy/sell team every year. Like you think
Mariners last year.
Yeah. And then they made the big move so far this year with Castillo. So anyway, I don't know. I guess we'll certainly have more to talk about once the entire Cubs team is shipped out for peanuts again. It makes me so sad. I think this is a good stopping point right at that 30 minutes. Obviously, this is kind of a lead up to the chaos that is the 62 or 61 games of baseball left to play. The home stretch, if you will, 2 months of baseball to decide who makes the playoffs, if Pat is happy or if he is sad and buying bobbleheads in the concourse.
I might do that when I'm happy, although last weekend was when I was sad. But that Minnie Minoso bobblehead is awesome.
It's very cool. Very, very good purchase. Comes with two tickets too, by the way, folks.
It is. I'll tell you that.
They certainly don't, but we will. All right. So that concludes our episode of the Shoeless Go Podcast. Obviously, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundChicago.com. But we're going to end this episode with a question that Pat has actually heard before. I actually gave him time to prepare. I'm not going to lie to the people. I had already mentioned that Nick Castellanos at the deadline was my favorite deal of all time for the Cubs in my lifetime. Pat, although the Sox are not buyers often, what was your favorite moment or favorite deadline deal?
Yeah, I was like struggling here because there are some that have been, it's tougher because I feel like they haven't made as many of them over the years. I guess the ones I can kind of lead into kind of my thought process, and I guess just for full disclosure, I'm going with what my favorite was at the time of the trade and not how the trade panned out. I'm just factoring in when they made the trade, what was my favorite trade when they made it. Some ones that were up there, I don't think Jake Peavy, I don't remember him being a deadline trade, but it was an in-season trade. Ken Griffey was one that I loved, even though I just liked the idea of Ken Griffey Jr. being on the White Sox in 2008. And I still have that jersey, which, you know, kind of stands to reason kind of where I'm at there. And I'm also, another thing, I'm not doing selling trades. I don't want to think about those. I don't want to talk about them. But honestly, this is probably going to be a weird answer. But my favorite one of my lifetime at the time of the trade, the one I was most excited by, was the Craig Kimbrel trade last year.
Really?
I wasn't as high on Madrigal as some people were. I thought he was going to be, you know, he'll have like a 10-year career, but he'll never be an all-star type deal. Like he'll be a productive major league player, maybe a leadoff guy on a second division team, eight, nine hitter on a contender. But the reason I liked that trade was because it kind of signaled last year that they were going for it, which, I mean, it was obvious, right? They were winning the division by 10 games, but they weren't just sitting with what they had. Like that is a trade you make when you are going for it. You were trying to step on people's throats. You were trying to be the juggernaut bullpen going into the playoffs, and it didn't work. And like, that's why I'm not basing it off the results, because I like the fact that they were willing to do that last year, really play from a strength, boost to the bullpen after they'd already gotten Ryan Tepera. Really one of the weaknesses last year was just that back end of the bullpen, kind of getting the ball to Liam Hendricks, at least for parts of the season, and bullpens are always a little finicky, but that trade just was kind of like I think we talked about it last year during the episode. It was like that is a trade that you make when you are gunning to win a World Series. You don't make that trade to try to get into the playoffs. And I think that's why I liked it, because it was one that like really signaled that like the front office was taking the opportunity seriously last year. Obviously it didn't pan out, which, you know, I'd rather them be aggressive than not. And I would like the same type of urgency this year. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, no, like I said, with a couple of my trade recaps, win, lose or draw, at least they went for it.
Yeah.
And that's a big one with Kimbrel. Was Jermaine Dye mid-season, or he was a free agent?
No, he was an off-season. He was an off-season.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. That's
a lot of those guys were. 2005, the only real deadline trade they made, I guess Jeff Blum, which that would be a, based off the results, which trade did I like the most? It would probably be Jeff Blum. But if you would have asked me who he was at the deadline in 2005, I would have had no idea. I guess I would have been 10 years old, but
Fair enough. All right. So that concludes our episode of the Shoeless Goat Podcast. Thank you so much, Pat, for joining us. We'll have a lot to talk about next week. But in the meantime, remember, everyone, Yadi Molina is not a Hall of Famer. Go Cubs. Go White Sox. Go MLB.
Same old